Quiet Life. It is so great to have you here with me. It's always great to talk to you every fortnight or so when I've had a chat with Scotty and I come and unpack it all with you guys here on A Quiet Life. So wherever you are, I'm so glad that you've decided to tune in and have a listen. At our church annual meeting on the weekend, the guy who does our regular Bible reading podcast had a chat. He said that he wished he could just do the recording and then press a button that says make a podcast and then that would be it. It would be made. And I totally agree with him. I laughed louder than anyone in the congregation, I think. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I could just do this recording, rant for a bit, press a button that says make podcast and put it all together and it would work. Actually, making this podcast takes a bit of time for me. I do the recording and then I need to do a bit of putting things together, putting the music on, putting in the interview with Scotty, putting in bits and pieces of mastering and things like that before I upload it. And I also write a blog, which you can find at aquietlifeblog.wordpress.com. And so it takes a few hours every fortnight to put this together. It's unbelievable, but it's true. And if you would like to support me in that, you can head over to my Patreon page, patreon.com/quietlife, and help me out with a bit of money, because I do this out of the love of my heart. And actually, I do it out of the love of my heart. I really do like sharing this information with you, and anything that I've learned that can be helpful to you, I want to pass on. And so if you find this helpful, I'd really love you to pass it on to other people as well, because that is another way that you can really support what I'm doing and make it worthwhile, is to tell other people about it if it's helped you. I would love other people to know. So please do spread the word. And as I say, I love doing this. I love chatting to you about organisational things. Today's talk with Scotty, we talked about feeling overwhelmed. And yeah, the message I have today is for you who are just feeling like you've got too much on. And so have a listen to what I've said to Scotty and what my message for the day is.
Good morning, this is Ultra 96.5. Ruth Amos is with me again. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Scotty.
How you doing?
Really, really well, thanks.
That's good. We were talking before about, which I think is going to be our subject for next week, about routine, and I said, I haven't had my coffee yet. I feel like I'm still half asleep. But you said, well, this is a good chat for next week.
Yeah, next time we'll talk about that. I'm not prepared yet.
It is important to have that routine, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that next week, though, because today we're talking about anxiousness and... Yeah. And tell us about that.
I was thinking about, you know, back in school, you were probably a sporty person, but I wasn't. And, the perfect day where there was this phys ed activity where I knew I was going to get hit in the head by a ball, or I was going to drown in the pool, or whatever it was going to be. And I'd wake up in the morning and I'd feel a bit like...
I'd go
to mum and say, I feel really sick. And you get that permission slip that please excuse Ruth from this activity.
She's not. Yes.
Yeah, win.
This is the best day ever.
I have to sit in the library, such hardship.
Yeah. I've got to read for the next 2 hours.
Tragedy. Yeah. But I think as adults, sometimes we're just wishing that someone would give us a permission slip that says, no, you don't have to do this activity. Yeah. And I think sometimes we just need to give ourselves one. Possibly even I can give you one this morning.
Say, can you give me one?
You have permission to say no. And in fact, Moz has this, you can sometimes when he's patting down his pockets before he goes to work in the morning, you can hear this crinkle. And the crinkle is a piece of paper that our pastor gave him. And if you open it up, it just says no. It's his permission to say no.
No, he didn't have to say it. In fact, he just pulled out and go, there you go.
Yeah.
So, but the trouble is for me, is we have all these responsibilities as adults, and there are some things you just go, I just don't think I'm up for that. But then you'd know that you'd be letting the family down, you'd be letting, you know, my wife down, and, you know, people that we go, like, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, that is a really tricky one. And I think Stephen Covey in 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, that old book, but he talks about your circle of influence and your circle of responsibility. And I think that if you're feeling like that all the time, like it's really hard because the people that you're talking to, the ones who go, oh yeah, good, Ruth's given me permission not to, are the ones that probably should be stepping up and, and vice versa. But if you're feeling all the time like you're overwhelmed and you just can't, and, you know, you're wishing that a car would hit you on the way to, so that you could spend a week in hospital because, you know, that would be more peaceful than your life now, something is wrong.
You need to be getting some help there.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, look at yourself seriously, and sometimes things are your responsibility and you have to do them. But if you're feeling continually overwhelmed, something is wrong and you need to start thinking about
your reasons why you're doing things, because disappointing your wife, that's important. But if you're worried about doing something because you're disappointing your father who actually passed away 20 years ago, you know, maybe that's not a good reason to be doing that particular activity.
Yeah, and maybe being selective about what you do, you know, like, because so we can become so busy with so many things that in itself becomes overwhelming, because you're like, why am I so busy? Yeah. And every day is just filled up with stuff. Like, I don't think that can be healthy.
And social media, you look at other people's lives and you think, oh, well, this is the way, you know, kids' activities after school, for example. Oh, well, they have to do dancing and they have to do a musical instrument, they have to play sport and they have to be in the maths club. Well, actually, I hate to break it to you, but
they don't.
Some boredom is really good, you know, or, you know, making sure that you have a day on the weekend where it's just chilled and you can just be. Even if you don't have family and kids and activities, you can fill up your weekend completely, but you need some chill out time, some stare at the wall time. It is important. And so maybe you can't actually go to that birthday party and you need to say, I'm really sorry, right now I can't. You'd be surprised at how little impact that has.
Yeah, you think, oh, they're going to be shattered, but they're kind of like, okay, whatever, see you later.
Yeah, you know. We love you. Yeah. That's why we invited you. If this is bad for you, then we're happy for you to not come.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that can be the
case. And most people deal with the same thing, don't they? You know, like, so there are some people that just go, oh, man, I'm just really not up for this tonight. You know, like, I'm really struggling right now. You know, for whatever the reason, most people would understand, because most people have those times themselves, don't they?
That's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. We're often all in the same boat. And you might be saying no to something. The person who you're saying no to is thinking, oh, I wish I could do that. Maybe you're encouraging them to simplify their lives a little bit.
So what's the answer? Is the answer just to say no?
I think so. Yeah. To say no with grace. To say, no, I'm sorry. I don't have time for this right now, or I can't actually face this right now, or, you know, not just slam the door in people's faces, to say no with grace, but just to say no. I think we need to say no more.
And I always feel that the urge when I say no to something to give a whole bunch of reasons why. Like, is that appropriate?
No. No by itself is a full sentence. It's amazing. I don't think we need to. I don't think we need to justify everything. I think we do that for ourselves, but again, I'm saying I don't think you need to do that. Sometimes you can just say, I'm sorry.
Thank you, though.
No.
But no.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me. Please invite me next time. This time, the answer.
Yeah, don't forget me. I'm still here, but this time, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Ruth.
No worries.
RuthAmos.com.au. And of course, she's an author as well. You can check out her books and all that sort of stuff. She's a blogger and an all round genius.
If you want more about saying no, I actually have written a book called My Year of Saying No. So you can get
that's
bit
what you did too.
About.
That was like last year, wasn't it? Or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, My Year of Saying No.
A while back.
RuthAmos.com.au. Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you.
So as always, it was really fun to chat with Scotty this morning. We always have a good time. And despite the fact that he really wanted to talk about routines, which we will talk about next time, I think it's a very important part of living a fulfilled life. Excuse the cockatoo outside my window. We will talk about routines next time, as I said. But this time I had all prepared to talk about saying no, and I wanted to say that. So yeah, here we go. Let's unpack this a little bit more. Oh yes, and I just wanted to say, yeah, I did have to plug my book. And you can find my book at Coorong, and you can find it on Amazon, and you can write to me and I'm happy to give you a copy. It is called My Year of Saying No, and it was actually about the year 2017. That was when I was learning all these important lessons about saying no. And as part of that, I read a very, very good book, which was called The Best Yes by Liza Turkhurst. And she had some really gracious ways in her book to be able to say no. So I think this afternoon, as I am chatting to you, it is a beautiful sunny afternoon, and as you can hear, the cockatoos are just coming in. Our neighbours like to feed them, and so we often have quite a crowd of white cockatoos around our house and some other beautiful birds, and I really love it. This song is not brilliant. Goodness me, when I was doing the audio version of My Year of Saying No, I had to do a lot of re-recording to get rid of this cockatoo sound. But anyway, there you go. I'm going to start with Lisa's way, or Lisa, sorry if I'm saying that wrongly, some of her gracious methods for saying no. So here's a beautiful one. I like this one. While my heart wants to say yes, the reality of my time makes this a no. Isn't that lovely? She's so gracious. So, yeah, it's true. Our heart often wants to say yes, or our sense of panic wants us to say yes, but sometimes we just have to say, well, my heart wants us to say yes. The reality is, your time is a finite container. You can't fit everything in. Sometimes you just have to say no. How about this one? I'm sorry. I'd love to do that, but I can't give it the attention it deserves. If you're asked to be on a school council or to help out at another committee at church or something like that, I'm sorry, I would love to, but I can't give it the attention it deserves. It's true, you know. These things you want to actually be part of 100%. You want to actually put in the time that you need to give it a good go, to do something well. And sometimes our reality is that if we took on yet another thing, that we'd be doing it half-heartedly, giving it, you know, 25% instead of 100%, trying to do it while we're trying to do everything else. Sometimes I try and talk on the phone while I am working. It doesn't work. You are half on the phone and you are half in your job, and you can't live life like that. You want to give something the attention it deserves. So here's one for mums or dads. While I would love to get together for coffee, my previous commitments with schooling my girls makes this one of these seasons when I must decline lovely invitations. But thank you for thinking of me. Just knowing you'd want to get together is an encouraging gift. So I think that thank you for thinking of me. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for asking me to be part of this thing can be a really great way to say it, but also to say no as well. Now, if you're a bit like me and you're in charge of your own time, sometimes that can be a problem. And this is, again, where scheduling comes in. It's important. But you can start to feel like you can squeeze in everything everywhere because your time is flexible, right? But maybe that's not a good idea. And this last one that I'm going to read from this book, The Best Yes, is this. I would love to help you out. In order to keep better balance in my life, I've started scheduling Fridays as my service opportunity days. Let me know what part of your request can be done during 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on a Friday, and I'd be happy to get you scheduled. Here are two available Fridays I'd be delighted to use for your request. All right, so that's very formal and official, but I found the same thing. I have decided which days I can meet people for coffee, which days I can do, various jobs. I have decided that Wednesdays are my days when I don't meet people for coffee and when I do spend time in building up my spiritual life and doing my creative work and things like that. So, you know, it's just looking at your days and your week and knowing that they are finite and that you can't fit everything in and knowing that's okay. You don't have to say yes to every opportunity. You're not going to say no to every opportunity either. But yeah, just think about it a little bit more. You have permission to say no, and you can say no graciously, like those beautiful examples from the book, The Best Yes. I'm often in a bit of a panic when somebody asks me, and so I'm probably less than that gracious, but they're just ideas to think on. I mentioned in the talk with Scotty about circle of concern, and I can't remember what I said, but circle of concern and circle of influence is the correct terms from Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. So the idea of circle of concern and circle of influence is that you have things that you're concerned about, and they could be as far-reaching as the state of the climate or the government of the United States of America, if you're concerned about that, all kinds of things. You can be concerned about all kinds of things, but there's a limited number of things that you can influence. And if you spend your energy on these far-reaching concern things, it may be as ineffective as sitting there shouting at your computer when somebody has written something wrong on the internet, which happens. Okay, so you need to think about where you're going to spend your limited time and energy, your precious time and energy, and make that circle of concern closer to your circle of influence. I think one of the wonderful things about being a Christian is even when your circle of concern is way outside your circle of influence, you can pray and you can influence things that way through prayer. Really important to say that. But again, it's where you want to spend your precious time and energy and where you can do the most good. And I think that sometimes you need to rationalize where you're spending your energy and use most of it when in a place or in a time or in an activity where you're going to do the most good. And that all sounds very brutal and cold. But I think sometimes for our good and for our own mental health and for the health of the people around us who depend on us, we might have to be a little bit more cold-hearted in our decision-making about what we're going to get involved in and what we're going to spend our time and energy on. And I, you know, I'm only saying this because I know that you who are listening now are the people who are just running yourself ragged. You are so thin on the ground that you just don't know which way to turn. And you are just not sure how to bring your life under a bit of control. And you might be wondering whether you are that person, right? I think you are. But you might be wondering, you might be thinking, how do I know? Like, how do I know I'm not just being lazy? Well, I don't think you're being lazy. I don't think anyone is. But I have some signs. And this is from a book called Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership, and it's by Ruth Haley Barton. But she came up with some really great signs that are indicators that you are doing too much, that you're running on empty or running on fumes, and that you need to start saying no. So I'm going to go through these signs now because I found this just so incredibly interesting and good to apply to my own life. So here's the first one. Irritability or hypersensitivity. Things that normally wouldn't bother us a lot. You're driving along in your car, somebody cuts you off, and you're suddenly swearing your head off, and you're not a sweary person. Yes, I have been there. Yep, that can be a problem. And you might not swear your head off. You might not express your rage outwardly, but you feel it inwardly. You just know that everything is like fingernails on the blackboard for you. Everything is driving you up the wall. This is a sign that you are running on empty. Restlessness. Okay, so you might be just aware of a vague sense that something's wrong. You might not be able to sit quietly. You might not be able to relax when it's time to relax. You might not be able to fall asleep. Being unable to sleep is a really big sign that something is wrong. I like that when I went to see a psych because I wasn't coping. I didn't think anything was really bad. I just thought I needed to offload a few things. She asked if I was sleeping and I said no. And she said, right, what we are having here is a pre-crisis crisis and you need to deal with the pre-crisis crisis before it's an actual crisis. So sleep and whether you're sleeping well and whether you're sleeping happily. As I increased my mental health and got better, I found that, I'm sleeping happy. I'm having happy dreams or I'm waking up feeling happy and comfortable. And I didn't even realize that was gone. So if your sleep is miserable or sad or anxious or you're just not falling asleep, that's a big sign that something's not quite right and you need to do something about it. Compulsive overworking is another sign. So if you just feel like you can't let it go and you're thinking about work, you wake up and you write something about work, you go to work, you bring home work, you work on the weekends. You just keep working and you don't do anything else. And also if your work feels frenetic, if your work feels anxious. So I often have work that fills my whole day. Well, that's fine. That's actually what I want to do is a whole day's work. But what I want is the peace of mind and the calm to just approach the tasks as they come and do them with joy and calm and peace. And I wasn't feeling that way. I was feeling that frenetic overwork, that panic that I'm not going to get this done in time to do that, and then I'm not going to get that done in time to do the next thing. That's a sign that there's too much on. How about emotional numbness? If you're just not feeling things, good or bad. When you're at capacity, she says, Ruth Haley Barton, you do not have the energy to engage the full range of human experience, including your emotions. And you can also be afraid that if you stop working and you let yourself feel the emotions that you're feeling, they might be just overwhelming. You might completely fall apart. So that emotional numbness, that, you know, lack of laughter and lack of tears, the lack of highs and lows, that can be a sign that there's too much on. And going along with that is escapist behaviours, like sitting on the couch and playing Candy Crush for hours on end, spending time on binge watching TV, spending time on games on the computer, things that just are completely brain numbing, mind numbing, and you don't have to engage. And doing those instead of, you know, maybe going for a bike ride or going for a walk or playing a board game or something that would engage you with other people. So that's another one. Just doing things that tune you out instead of things that give you life. You might find yourself disconnected from your identity and calling, disconnected from a true sense of who you are, and then just reacting to everybody else's expectations of you without doing something from a core knowledge of where you stand, who you are, and what you should be doing. So you have no plumb line to measure the demands of other people against, so you just do all of them, which exacerbates the problem, as I'm sure you can see. Next one is not being able to attend to human needs. Now, I found this one really fascinating. Just basic human needs, like I don't have time to exercise, or not eating right, just getting takeaway or pulling a bag of chips out of the cupboard, or just eating a packet of biscuits instead of dinner and thinking, it's all right, it'll be fine tonight. Or just not making time to go to the doctor. How many of us just don't make time to go to the doctor? And I remember one time when Moz was working far too hard, when he needed to have surgery, but making time to have that surgery was very difficult. And when he did have the surgery, he was back at work again 4 days after major surgery. That's not a good sign. That's a bad sign, people. That's a sign you are doing too much. Another one is about hoarding your emotional energy. It's like you don't want to give energy to, you hide from people and you hide from doing things because you're worried that if you give energy to that, you're not going to have enough energy to make it through the day. You become really self-protective and really even can be reclusive. You know you have just enough energy to do what you have to do, and you just can't risk anyone using up any of that energy on anything else. So you just make sure you don't go out or do the things that you would otherwise do. I'm definitely guilty of that one when I'm in a bad place. And slipping in your spiritual practices. So what do I mean by spiritual practices? Well, Ruth Haley Barton is very big on solitude and silence, and I'm now finding this an absolute essential part of every day to spend about 15 minutes by myself in quiet time with God. And I mean, I just sit and pray, but I don't even pray with words. I'm just trying to sit quietly in God's presence and let him, you know, it says in Psalm 139, search me and know my heart, try me and know my anxious thoughts. That's what that 15 minutes a day is about for me. And it really makes a massive difference. But if you can't find 15 minutes to do that, then perhaps you're doing too much. Prayer, personal reflection, scripture, journaling, self-examination, or looking after your body, doing exercise, eating right, all that kind of stuff. That's still a spiritual practice. You are a spiritual person in a body, and your body does relate to your spiritual self. So all of those things, you don't want to miss out on those things. And if they find that they're slipping, and often they're the first to go, then you know, right, there's something out of kilter here. So I read through that list the first time, and let me just say it, go through it quickly again. So irritability or hypersensitivity, restlessness, inability to sit quietly, overworking, inability to stop or slow down, emotional numbness, escapist behaviours, disconnection from your identity, not being able to attend to your human needs, hoarding your energy, and slipping in your spiritual practices. When I read through that list the first time when I was reading this brilliant book, I thought these were signs that you were doing enough. So I'm always wondering, am I doing enough or am I just being lazy? And I thought, you know, if you got to the point where you were tired enough at the end of each day just to sit on the couch and blob out by playing Candy Crush, or if you were, just over the top, so you weren't quite eating right every week or whatever, things like that, that meant that you were working enough. But it's actually a sign that you're working too much and that you need to look at your life and start to simplify. You are an important person. You are a valuable person. And your health is a valuable thing. And you want to get in the right place physically, spiritually, and mentally so that you can serve others to the best of your ability. And so to do that, we need to take time and really think about how we're filling our days and what we're giving our energy to. So yeah, to bring it back to the beginning, if you need permission to say no to something this week, then you have my permission. You have a permission slip. You are not required to attend this activity, and it's signed by me. But I hope that you can give yourself permission to just simplify and slow down a bit and do a bit less and bring those good habits back into your life, that self-care of exercise and eating right and spending time with God or meditating, whatever you do, knowing who you are so that you can make decisions that fit really well within your circle of influence, and that you will be a peaceful person who is just happy to do your daily tasks and get them done. That's what I'm aiming for, and I hope that's what you're aiming for too. So as I said before, if you would prefer to read this rather than listen to it, you can find my blog at aquietlifeblog.wordpress.com. You can, or, you know, the other way is to sign up to my newsletter at ruthamos.com.au. You can find me over at patreon.com/quietlife. And I really would love you to pass this on to anyone who you feel it would help. And I look forward to chatting to you again about routine next time.